physical symptoms: cardiocirculatory, gastrointestinal, allergic. But the pain began to recede. Group and individual psychotherapy was intense. Fortunately, she was very intelligent and grasped the concepts of TMS quickly. As the pain reduced, the staff helped to get her mobile again. 14 weeks after admission, she went home, essentially free of pain and ready to resume her life again. This woman did not have the disease chronic pain. She had a physical disorder, TMS, induced by fearful psychological trauma. What a disservice to her if it had been implied that her pain was so great and persistent because she was deriving psychological benefit from it. Thus, just one example of why I am opposed to this concept. And as well, this example may explain my insistence that the treatment of TMS requires an educational psychotherapeutic approach. Most patients do not need psychotherapy, but they do need to know that all of us generate and repress bad feelings, and that these feelings may be the cause of physical symptoms. My treatment of TMS has evolved over the past 27 years in response to a clear-cut diagnostic concept, that the pain syndromes are the result of the mind-body interaction. When it began to dawn on me that this was the case, my automatic reaction was to explain to the patient what I thought was going on. At the same time, I prescribed physical therapy for everybody, as I had always done. My reasoning was that such therapy could not hurt, and since I believed that oxygen deprivation was responsible for the symptoms, it might actually be beneficial. Since all the modalities I prescribed tended to increase the local circulation of blood. As time went on, something interesting emerged. I found that most of the patients who got better were those who accepted the idea that their pain was the result of emotional factors. Some who improved remained skeptical of the diagnosis, but responded well to the physical therapy. It was also apparent that some physical therapists were more successful than others. Based on these observations, two therapeutic conclusions were reached. One, the most important factor in recovery is that the person must be made aware of what is going on. In other words, that the information provided is the penicillin for this disorder. Two, some patients will respond to physical therapy and/or the physical therapist with a placebo reaction. A placebo reaction is fine, but it is usually temporary. Our goal was to effect a complete and permanent cure. The effectiveness of the placebo reaction was easy to understand, but I was mystified by the obvious importance of informing the patient of what was going on. This was knowledge therapy, and it appeared to make no sense at all. However, I was delighted with its effectiveness, and my cure rate was distinctly better. In addition, I finally had the feeling that I knew what was going on, despite my inability to explain all the details. That wasn't too upsetting, for after all, we were dealing with a process of the brain, and it is common knowledge that little is known about how the brain works. During this period, I worked closely with a group of talented physical therapists who had learned all about the tension myositis syndrome and combined their physical treatment with discussion of the psychological factors involved. They functioned as surrogates for me, as well as physical therapists. It was a painful decision to stop using physical therapy later on because I so appreciated the work of these dedicated professionals. Also, during those early years, I developed a close working relationship with a small group of psychologists on the staff of the Howard A. Rusk Institute of Rehabilitation Medicine, an association that has continued to this day. I learned a lot of psychology from them, and they have played an important role in the treatment of those patients who need psychotherapy in order to get better. In essence, we function as a team. In 1979, perhaps later than I should have, I began to bring groups of patients together for what one might call lecture discussions. With each passing year, it became increasingly obvious that educating the patient about TMS was the crucial therapeutic factor. Occasionally, I would see a patient who had been psychoanalyzed or had been in psychotherapy for a long time, but had a pain syndrome nevertheless. So it was clear that psychological insight was not sufficient to prevent TMS. It wasn't until patients learned the facts about TMS that the pain went away. Starting with 4 1-hour lectures, we evolved to 2 2-hour sessions, the first of which is devoted to the physiology and the diagnosis of TMS, and the second to the psychology of TMS and its treatment. The reason for the lectures was clear. If the information was so important to patients' recovery, then they had to be well educated about TMS. More specifically, it was essential that patients knew exactly what they didn't have, all the structural diagnoses, and what they did have, TMS. From a strictly physical point of view, TMS is harmless. Therefore, they had nothing to worry about physically. All the prohibitions and admonitions were unnecessary. Indeed, they actually contributed to the problem by creating fear where none was appropriate. If the purpose of the pain is to make one focus on the body, and through these lectures the patient can be convinced to ignore the bodily symptoms and think about psychological things instead, haven't we made the pain syndrome useless? It's a bit like blowing the cover on a covert operation. As long as the person remains unaware that the pain is serving as a distraction, it will continue to do so, undisturbed. But the moment the realization sinks in, and it must sink in, for mere intellectual appreciation of the process is not enough, then the deception doesn't work anymore. Pain stops, for there is no further need for the pain, and it's the information that gets the job done. If I can convince the conscious mind that TMS is not serious and not worthy of its attention, better yet, that it is a phony, a charade, and that rather than fear it, one should ridicule